Hey everybody, this is James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems and BikeJames.com, and welcome to another edition of the MTB Strength Coach Podcast. Today I want to go over some thoughts and some lessons that I took away from the recent two-day skills and fitness clinic that I hosted at my facility here in Grand Junction. It was, you know, my first big nationally advertised clinic, and had riders from around the country come in and spend 2 days with me going over strength, cardio, and skills and nutrition and all the things that kind of go into training for mountain biking. So it was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun working with these riders and getting a chance to help them understand a little bit better, you know, what they needed to work on to get better as riders, and everybody learned something new. That was one of the best things, especially with some of the skill stuff. I think a lot of people were able to pull off. When we're working on manuals, you know, able to pull off a manual and a manual to bunny hop for the first time ever. So it's always fun to you know, experience that with riders and get to show them how to do some of these things that maybe they've spent a few years trying to figure out. But some of the big takeaways from the clinic were, you know, kind of some random things. You know, one of the things that I noticed was that split squats are really easy to do wrong. And we went over split squats a couple times because I think split squats are really, really important exercise for mountain bikers, because we're in that split stance position on our bikes. You know, it's really good stance for us to get strong in the gym. And so I emphasize split squats a lot in my programs. And so when we were going over split squats, I noticed a lot of people doing something really similar, which is not relaxing the back leg and really trying to stabilize and drive the movement from that trail leg. And so what would happen is they'd keep that trail leg knee stiff, and as they're coming down, it would cause their front knee to push forward over their foot, and then eventually they'd, you know, relax the knee, come down, and then on the way up they would straighten that leg out first, lock that rear knee out, and then kind of finish off the movement a little bit with the front leg. But one of the telltale signs was at the top position, the trail leg would be locked out and the lead leg would not be locked out. It would still have a little bit of bend left to it. So when I see, you know, a trail leg locked out and a front leg bent, that tells me that you use that trail leg to drive you up to the movement, or up to the top of the movement, and your brain looked at, well, when this driver is locked out, that's the end of coming up. So you're not really focusing on that lead leg. And so you have to really pull yourself down with the hip flexors of that lead leg. It all comes down to an inability to actively pull yourself down and flex at the hip as you come down, because what happens is when you keep that trail leg stiff and it pushes you forward, it gets more bend out of your knee and ankle and less out of your hip. So it's just your body trying to figure out a way to bypass the hips, the weak hips in the movement. So make sure that you're actively pulling yourself down with your hip flexors, you're relaxing that rear leg so that the knee can drop straight down. At the bottom of your split squat, you should look like you could do a half kneeling kettlebell halo or shoulder press. Like basically your trail leg knee should be right underneath your hips, and your lead leg heel should be underneath your knee, give or take. I mean, you should have a pretty vertical shin in the front. So make sure that that's what you're doing. Like I said, I was a little surprised to see so many people not really doing that exercise as good as it could be done. And it just, you know, made me realize it's something I see a lot in my facility, and I just realized that it's something that's really easy for you to do wrong. So, you know, video yourself and check and make sure that you're not making these mistakes on your split squats. You know, some of the skill stuff, you know, manuals are funny, man. Manuals are a lot easier than riders think when they learn how to drive them from the hips. And that's the trick with manuals. Manuals is basically you being able to lift the front end of your bike up and have some balance, and not just the He-Man lift where you're pulling the handlebars up towards your chest and bending your elbows. The trick is that you're actually using your hips to extend your torso up, so you're driving your chest up away from the handlebars, but it's not coming from your lower back. Like, that's the important thing. It has to come from a hip extension, similar to what you do with a kettlebell swing or a deadlift. And so you're opening yourself up from your hips, driving your chest up away from your handlebars, and you're driving your legs, straightening out your legs. The visual is that you're trying to push your rear wheel under your butt with your legs. And when you do this, you push the bike in front of you, and that actually straightens your arms out. And when your arms get straight, you just continue to drive your legs forward. And because your arms are straightened out, as you drive forward, it's going to cause your front end to come up. And so that's basically what manualing is. It's that using your hips to drive up away from the handlebars with your torso and extend your legs, drive your legs forward, and think about trying to push the bike in front of you and drive your rear wheel underneath your butt with your legs. Something that really helps with that is dropping the heels. When you drop your heels on your pedals, it just activates the hips and helps you drive better with the hips. And so that little tip right there really seemed to help a lot of riders out when we were working on manuals. Another thing is cornering. You know, cornering's got to be the hardest skill to teach on the bike. And the reason is because it's a combination of great body position and lateral hip movement. And it's something that most riders simply don't have a lot of. And so, you know, if you don't have good body position down and you don't have the mobility and strength in your hips and core to move like you need to, it's going to be almost impossible for you to corner correctly. So, you know, there are some riders that really just, you know, it's not that, no, you know, you need to know what good cornering technique is, and you need to, it helps to think about it. But the reality is, you know, drilling it and working specifically on it can be a waste of time, really, if you don't have some of those basic things in place. Because if you don't have the body position and the movement potential to do it right in the first place, man, when you're drilling it, you're just going to be practicing bad stuff. And I almost don't like teaching cornering at clinics or when I'm working with riders, you know, until they've shown me that they can consistently pull off good body position, just because it's so hard to teach when you don't have that down. Because you can have good body position down when you're thinking about it, and then as soon as you start adding in the other things, you know, with the counter steering, you know, straightening the inside arm and shifting your hips out, and, you know, leaning your bike and your body over, you know, when you start adding in all those things, you revert right back to your old body position because you don't have it dialed yet. So, you know, cornering is just that seems to be the crux thing for a lot of people. Once you have good body position down, it's so much easier for you to get it than if you don't. But that's kind of, you know, like with a lot of things in life, when you have the basics down, things tend to be a lot easier. And finally, probably my biggest lesson, one of the things that came up a lot during the clinic was, you know, to not confuse symptoms with causes. And I really became aware of this concept when reading the book Freakonomics. And, you know, it talked about a lot of interesting things. But like I said, my big takeaway from that book was to not confuse symptoms with causes. That sometimes what we look at and think, you know, are causing a situation are actually a symptom of something else. And so, you know, for example, symptoms are like the form of an exercise or a skill on your bike. They're what you want it to look like. And causes are the drivers behind that form or the way that something should feel. And if you drive it from the right spot, it will look right. But it can look right and you not be driving it and feeling it in the right spots, and your technique will be weak. So it can look right but still have weak technique if you're focusing on the symptoms and not the causes behind the symptoms. So, for example, probably one of the best examples of this I can think of on the bike is the advice that you get to keep your elbows out. You hear that, you know, good body position on the bike is butt back, chest down, elbows out. And the reality, though, is that it's, you don't want your elbows out. It's not pushing your elbows out that results in good body position. Keeping your lats engaged, keeping your shoulder blades locked down to your hips, and keeping those a good strong posture results in your elbows being pushed out away from your torso. Like when you have your lats locked down, when you've got your, you know, I call it locking your armpits down to your hips, when you have that going on, you know, you literally can't get your elbow to touch your ribs. Like your lats get in the way and keep your elbows pushed out away from your ribs. And so if you have your lats engaged and your upper body strong, then you'll see those elbows pushed out away from your ribs. But if you disengage those lats, that allows your elbows to flop in. And so what you're seeing and what you're experiencing when elbows start to push in towards the torso, the problem is not, hey, push your elbows out, because you can push elbows out and still not engage your lats. And so that's the important thing there. The key thing is the engaging the lats, which will cause the elbows to push out. And so I kept going over that with the guys at the clinic because I wanted them to make sure that when I was explaining, you know, technique for exercises and skills, and I was telling them what I want it to look like, I wanted them to understand that, you know, I want you to feel it here. If you feel it in a certain spot, if you have your lats engaged and you're strong with your upper back position, your elbows will stay out away from your torso. And so focus on that. That's one of the things that I'm looking at, is that elbows out. But I can still tell if you've got elbows out with a good, strong, engaged, you know, lats and upper back, or whether you've still got a rounded and weak upper back and you're just pushing your elbows out away because you think that's what good form should look like. And so, so that's a really good example. Another example is when you're cornering, dropping the outside foot. That's another, you know, bit of advice that riders get is, you know, drop that outside foot when you're cornering. And you want that outside foot to drop, but again, you want it to be dropping because you're shifting your hips out over that side of the bike. And so that causes your foot to drop down. And so again, you can drop that outside foot, but if you don't also shift your hips, then it's not gonna result in good cornering technique. And so so make sure that you understand the movement behind that. And then finally, you know, in the weight room, one of the things that we talked about a lot was when your lower body movements, you want to drive through the heels and you want to squeeze the thighs together, you know, at the top position, and you want to be, you know, squeezing those thighs together, pulling the kneecaps high, and getting a good strong position at the top. And if you think about standing up, if you bend down, like for example with a deadlift, if you bend down and grab the weight and you start in a good position, and then what you think about is, okay, I got to stand up. And standing up will have you do something totally different than aggressively driving your heels into the ground. I tell people, dent the ground with your heels and squeeze your thighs together as you come up. And when you get to that top position, you should have your thighs squeezed together and your kneecaps pulled high, nice and strong at the top position. If you do that, you stand up, but the way that it looks in your technique is so much better. And so again, it's, you need to focus on the feeling and the cause behind stuff, not the symptoms. The symptoms are a quick way to kind of check yourself and what, you know, just a quick little visual outside look, but only you know whether you have the right things engaged and you're moving from the right area. So just some things to keep in mind with that. But, you know, that was kind of it. You know, those were the big takeaways from the clinic. Like I said, it was a good, I think everybody had a good time, and I certainly did. Got a chance to go on a couple rides with everybody and kind of see where their fitness and skills were. And, you know, some of the people had been following, you know, one of my programs for a while. So it's good to see what the result was of a little long-term Bike James training. And so, I think it was good. I think it got things on the right track with the programs. And so, so that was pretty much it. So, a little recap on the clinic there. So hope you guys enjoyed this, little podcast. Once again, it's been James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems. You can check me out on the web at bikejames.com, and I'll talk to you in the next podcast.